This daily Christian newscast is brought to you in partnership with SermonAudio.com.
It's Wednesday, December 19th, AD 2018. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes, written by yours truly and heard at TheWorldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Shakira Wanyenzi, a 31-year-old Nairobi, Kenyan Muslim woman and mother of 4 children between the ages of 5 and 9, trusted Christ after a relative converted, reports Morningstar News. For months, Wanyenzi managed to keep her Christian faith a secret from her Muslim husband, Ismail, who became suspicious on November 30th when he came home to find her praying with her children and using the name of Jesus. After she refused to explain why she was acting differently, the next morning her husband slapped her several times and then struck her hand with a large wooden board, causing 2 fingers to bleed. Wanyenzi said, quote, "I fell down and he started to strangle me. Fortunately, neighbors arrived and rescued me and took me to a hospital," end quote. Afterwards, they took her and their 4 children to a pastor's home after hearing that her husband had purchased a coffin and that he was planning to kill his wife. Mark 13:13 says, "Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." Please, pray for the safety of Shakira Wanyenzi and her 4 children. Yesterday, President Donald Trump appeared to back off his demand for $5 billion to build a border wall, signaling for the first time that he might be open to a deal that would avoid a partial government shutdown, reports the Associated Press. With the help of the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, in the White House, and a bipartisan Senate coalition, a Trump-backed bipartisan criminal justice bill passed the Senate last night by a margin of 87 to 12, reports Axios. The bill would send approximately 4,000 prisoners home by increasing the amount of time that they can cut off of their sentences due to good behavior, allow more inmates to serve time in house arrest or halfway homes instead of prison cells, and require that prisoners be placed within 500 miles of family. Yesterday, the Trump administration banned bump stocks, the firearm attachments that allow semi-automatic weapons to fire like machine guns, and were used during the worst mass shooting in modern U.S. history, reports the Associated Press. The regulation gives gun owners until late March to turn in or destroy the devices. After that, it will be illegal to possess them under the same federal laws that prohibit machine guns. The radical left wing of the Democratic Party, vying to control the 2020 presidential primaries, wants Vermont Socialist Senator Bernie Sanders by a country mile, reports the Washington Times. A survey of over 94,000 self-identified liberals has Sanders with 36% support, nearly 3 times his closest competitor, former Vice President Joe Biden. Pastor Chris Valentin at the influential California megachurch Bethel has penned an impassioned Instagram post in which he calls the American abortion epidemic the, quote, "greatest atrocity of our time," end quote, reports FaithWire.com. Accompanying an image of a newly formed preborn baby, he offered this sarcasm, quote, "Remember, this fetus is not human. It's not a person. And therefore, it's not protected by our Constitution. It is simply a blob of cells removed from the mother's, oops, I meant woman's womb, without any side effects," end quote. After Valentin noted that people, quote, "will do anything to justify their selfish lifestyles," end quote, he said that Planned Parenthood is, quote, "still funded by your tax dollars and by the harvesting of organs from these non-humans. Funny how a blob of cells is not human, but they have harvestable organs," end quote. While I agree with 3 John 1:14 that I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth, a close second is hearing any pastor speak the truth about the sin of abortion. An Alabama bus driver with a big heart truly demonstrated the spirit of Christmas. Yesterday, when the Montevallo Elementary School was delayed due to icy roads and they were not able to serve breakfast, Mr. Price purchased 40 biscuits from McDonald's for his entire bus of students, reports WBRC. How often do you hear about a black Christian man standing outside an abortion mill offering help to the women going inside. Stay tuned for a fascinating story immediately following today's newscast at theworldview.com. And finally, as we celebrate the birth of Christ this season, you should know that yesterday was the birthday in 1707 of Charles Wesley, the author of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Listen to this clip from that famous hymn sung by Brian Duncan.
Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled.
Written in 1739. Wesley initially titled it, Hark, How All the Welkin or Heaven Rings. It was George Whitfield who suggested that he change the first line to its famous version. The song was put to the music of Lutheran composer Felix Mendelssohn, grandson of the notable Jewish philosopher Moses Mendelssohn. Wesley, who was the 18th child of Reverend Samuel and Susanna Wesley in Epworth, England, wrote over 6,000 hymns, and was homeschooled along with his siblings. And that's The World View in 5 minutes on this Wednesday, December 19th, in the year of our Lord, 2018. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Time now for a Worldview Special Report by Emily Swanson. I'm Adam McManus. God loves you and your baby were the words that were on the sign that Walter Hoy, president of Issues for Life, was holding that got him arrested in 2009, reports Christian Headlines. The Family Planning Specialist Medical Group Abortion Mill, whose business he was affecting, brought him to court, accusing him of violating the 8-foot buffer zone law. However, Hoy was not guilty of violating the ordinance at all because he was on a public sidewalk, not on the abortion mill's private property. The Worldview spoke to Hoy about how the story started with his decision to show compassion.
I was standing on a public sidewalk in the city of Oakland. I was holding a sign that said, God loves you and your baby. Let us help you. The women stopped and literally asked the same questions I had on my side. They wanted to know if I loved them and their baby, and if so, would I help them? And I helped. Just so happened that I was doing this in front of an abortion clinic.
Hoy shares his story in a new book he wrote entitled Black and Pro-Life in America, The Incarceration and Exoneration of Walter B. Hoy II. In the book, Hoy said that he wrote how his sign holding led to the abortion mill finally complaining about him to the city.
In the book, the story plays out that eventually that it can't take any more. There was one day, they had about 27 appointments in a 2-hour time frame, which is the time I was out there, the day I was out there. But women weren't coming. Actually, they were coming to get help. They heard it was a black preacher on a public sidewalk helping women. But that was the last straw.
Hoy said that the abortion mill started to complain to the city officials and the police about him.
What happened was that the abortion clinic, the Oakland City Council, the police chief, the executive director of the abortion clinic itself, and the escorts leader, the volunteer leader, they all got together with the legal team in Oakland and put together a law that made it illegal for me to stand on a public sidewalk, holding a sign, passing out literature, and having a conversation within 100 feet of an abortion clinic. And that ultimately led to an arrest, tried, convicted, and incarcerated.
Hoy said that God used this unjust conviction to help him minister the gospel of Jesus Christ in the prison.
Reading a newspaper, and I was in a newspaper. The man is this you, and I said,
Hoy's words are not unlike those of the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Hoy said the prison ministry just blossomed from there. Acts 16:25 says, And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed, and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Hoy said that the fields were so white, he would be up around the clock answering questions from the prisoners. Praise God for the season that God had Hoy at the prison for ministering the gospel there. In his book that recounts his experiences, Hoy told the Worldview that it addresses the important subject of why the African-American community is targeted for abortion. He said it's not a subject that people often discuss.
We are targeted. That is absolutely clear. I mean, if I just use the abortion industry data, there's not pro-life. This is the data that the abortion industry is willing to admit to. According to the Alan Guttmacher Institute, Alan Guttmacher is a former president of Planned Parenthood, not so former research arm of Planned Parenthood, the abortion industry. And so Alan Guttmacher Institute says that black American women are responsible for 28% of all abortions in the United States of America. And you got to keep in mind that black Americans are only 14% tops of everybody in America. The CDC comes along and says, no, Alan's wrong. It's 35%. That doesn't include every state in the union. It's about 5 or 6 states that aren't included in the data, including the number one state, the state that performs more abortions than any other state, and that's California. They legally do not have to tell the government what they do with the money.
Hoy said this tragic data that the abortion industry itself provides is proof that it's not accidental that more African American babies are being killed than other babies.
And let me go even further to say this. Abortion exists in America today because black Americans exist in America today. That's why I'm even here to begin with.
The Worldview asked Hoy how the African American church should address the topic of abortion. Hoy said it's difficult.
Abortion is the most controversial issue in black church today. They'll talk about almost anything but that. There are 4 reasons why black leadership rejects the pro-life movement. And when you understand those reasons, then you can begin to put together a strategy that has the best chance of getting the pro-life message in the church.
Hoy shared the number one reason that the black church shies away from talking about the murder of the unborn.
The number one reason black leadership rejects the pro-life movement is that black leadership is supposed to there's an abortion in his life somewhere.
Hoy said that the root issue has to be understood before the black church can be discipled to love life.
You don't even understand the reason why someone tells you no. You can't even begin to put together a strategy to reach them with any message. We have our own strategies that allow us to work. So if he's in that number one category, let's say, he's struggling with forgiveness, he's blood guilty, and there's no one to talk to. He doesn't know where to go. He needs help. We've got programs that allow us to recognize that and then understand that, and then we begin to have that one-on-one discussion with him.
Hoy described it as walking alongside the brother in Christ who needs counseling and encouragement. Proverbs 20, verse 5, describes the way the Issues for Life Foundation can come alongside these African American leaders to find out the root issue behind the rejection of the sanctity of life. The purpose of a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Hoy said that because he is also a black pastor, he's able to relate and help these men in a unique way.
When I'm having that one-on-one discussion with him, you know, the race car is off the take. We're in the same family. Both of us are preachers, you know. I'm licensed, ordained. He's licensed, ordained. All that stuff is off the table. He gets it. I get it. And then we can begin to reach the heart, that leader. And that's what the Issues for Life Foundation does.
In light of being thrown in jail for exercising his free speech on a public sidewalk, Hoy said that it is essential for those involved in pro-life ministry to know their First Amendment rights. When he was accused, he said even the police did not want to come after him.
Even the police, when they came, they didn't come because they wanted to. They came because the abortion clinic literally forced them to. They have a great relationship with the Oakland City Council. They didn't want to come. They would even tell me they got more important issues. But in court, I finally realized that this was something that they had to stop because the women were getting information, the women, their needs were being met, and when that was happening, their business was declining.
Hoy said that he had even videotaped some of the crazy tactics the abortion mill used to try to prevent him from holding his pro-life signs.
What happened was I had videotaped that my rights were being violated, my First Amendment rights were being violated. But they would literally follow me all around to put signs on top of my sign and in front of my face to make sure that nobody could read the sign. But they knew that was stopping folks. I mean, if you could have seen, there were some days where I had four white women following me with their blank sign, looking on a sign, on my sign, on a public sidewalk. And sometimes I was stopping traffic. Traffic would actually slow down and figure out why are all these four white women following this one black man on a public sidewalk.
Hoy said that he wanted to use that evidence of his rights being violated for the jury, but the court was not having it.
We're in court, and I just knew that there was no way I could go to jail with this. They have videotaped evidence of what was going on. They have videotaped evidence of what goes on outside. They got audio evidence. They got all of that. I just waited for them to show the videotapes, but somehow that those particular days in question, videotape wasn't available. This is how God worked. I was videotaping. And I videotaped so I could take the tape back to my church and show the church, this is what it's like on the public sidewalk. This is what they do to me. And you have to respond nonviolently. You have to make con. You have to share Christ. God worked it out. But those were the exact 2 days that I had to be in court over. When they said their videotape is gone, I said, wait a minute. Let's just show our videotape. Then they were furious.
Hoy said that the court did not want to allow him to show the video, but they finally conceded.
It took them over a half hour to finally say, okay, you can introduce evidence in the court. They only did it because they were losing the jury. The jury had heard I was a monster, and so they wanted to see it. And they saw they were losing the jury, they said, well, you can use this videotape. This is one time, only use it this way. It turns out that there was not one woman complaining about me in court. Not one, because it was helping everybody. The only testimony against us was the executive director of the abortion clinic itself.
Hoy remarked that the executive director of the abortion mill lied, but the court still took her testimony above the videotaped evidence.
She lied, and it didn't matter, and that's when it hit me. We showed the videotape. It was clear she lied. The jury knew. The judge knew. The courtroom was packed. The media all saw it. Everybody else in the courtroom, they all saw it, and she lied through it. Her testimony, entire testimony, was impeached with videotaped evidence, yet the judge allowed the Oakland City Attorney to use her impeached testimony in his closing argument and pass that on to the jury. The pro-abortion jury had no problem accepting it. If we do not stand up and fight for our free speech, we're going to lose.
The Worldview asked Hoy how he would encourage those fighting for the lives of the unborn and their mothers and fathers, especially looking at the injustices that can happen to them.
God ultimately won the day. Yeah, I was arrested. I was tried. I was convicted. I was incarcerated. All that was true. But through it all, there were some amazing things that God did to all of this that reached the hearts of men and women. So it was effective. But you literally helped somebody. I mean, in some cases, I was just buying groceries. They were hungry. Sometimes they wanted some space. They wanted time away from their boyfriend who had deeply disappointed her. They wanted some time away from their parents sometimes. They just wanted to be alone and we take care of them. It was amazing how God used all of these circumstances to help women and children. And in doing so, our lives were blessed. So I would encourage everyone, if you want to do this as much as you can.
Hoy said that they're able to be the compassionate hands and feet of Jesus through this ministry by providing prenatal care. They network with doctors and nurses to help these women for free. To find out more about Issues for Life, go to their website, issuesforlife.org. That's issues, the number 4, life.org. And pray for the pro-life Christians who are holding back the women and abortionists rushing to the slaughter and taking the sweet aroma of Christ Jesus to the very gates of hell, because the gates of hell will not prevail against Christ's church. Stay tuned on Thursday for a look into the very sweet story of why Hoy began a pro-life ministry in the first place. This has been a Worldview Special Report. I'm Adam McManus.